Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me this week, I almost said as always, but no, not actually as always, this week is filling in for Ryan is James, otherwise known as Iagavos, from Indie Love and Initiative Check and our super awesome Extra Life organizing team. So James is with me this week because Ryan is doing bachelor party things. Whoa. Ryan is getting married in T-minus, like, 15 days, so...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know, right? Super exciting, super awesome. I'm really, really, really happy for Ryan and Ashley. So, yeah, he's off tonight, guys, so you have James. So, James, say hello.
Hi, Gamers in listeners. How are you? How are you, Jocelyn? What's going on?
I am pretty fantastic, and I'm so excited that we were able to have you on before you went back to England, so...
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really good timing, actually.
I'm not... recording this at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm fully energized, fully ready to talk about some video games.
Excellent. So what have you been playing in this last, well, normally I ask the last week, but I guess, you know, however much time.
Well, since I've been in America, the only thing I've really played is World of Warcraft, which is bizarre because I don't really play it very often, but I've been straight in there. I've leveled a new character to all the way to 90.
I know. I have a character that I started. It's like a level 3 or 4 Tauren, and I really, really, really wanted to level with you, and I remember, like, I started it, you were at level, like, 7, and I'm like, okay, I'll start one, and then, you know, I'll get caught up, and then so I got to level 5, and I never touched it again, and that same character, you're now level 90?
Yep.
Oh my god. That is insane.
I discovered that I've never really liked playing alts in WoW, because I've always been like, I have to dedicate my character to this one thing, so I feel bad if I don't put progress onto him. Then I realized that with an alt, I can jump around and get less burnt out. So I play on my alt, I level him up 10 levels, and I'm like, oh, I'll go play on my Death Knight, and then I go back. And by the time I mean, he was 90 in, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
That's so awesome. Crazy. The one that I leveled all the way 100% on my own to 90 without any kind of boosting anything else took me like literally a year. I only played it with one other person and I wanted to play so much, but I couldn't. So I had all these little alts that I started and like trying to figure out what to do with my time when I wanted to play WoW, but the other person was unavailable. And I was just like, oh man, like it took me forever. Forever. I can't imagine grinding out 90 levels in like 3 weeks.
And I mean, I've made like a bunch of other alts. So I'm going like, I have Iagavos and I have Iago Bows and Iago, Iago Vows is my priest.
That is awesome.
He's level 1 now, so I'm level him up next. So we should level him together. Which should be fun.
I feel like I'm going to level mine about 5 or 10 levels as you get another 90. And then I'm going to do another, you know, 5 or 10 levels and you're going to have another 90.
Well, by the time, well, eventually I'll have all the characters at 90 and you'll have one.
Exactly. Well, I already have 3, so.
Okay. Well, that's more than me. I have 2.
Well then. Yeah, no, I have my hunter, I have a priest, and I have a monk, so. But 2 of those 3 are boosted. I really, really, really wanted one of my characters to have inscription, like, fully at max level. And so I was just like, well, my monk has inscription, and she's, like, level 57, so I'll just do the last 3 levels and then boost her. And then now I have professions. Well, I'm so lazy.
My warlock, who's the one that I think I got him up to, I think it was like 80, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I boosted him to get max level enchanting, and so I didn't level him the whole way during that time.
Oh my god, you boosted for 10 levels?
Yeah, I got lazy.
Which is so funny, because I find I always hit a wall with Outland. I can't, it's so, so hard to actually level through Outland. And then after Outland, I've played and loved, but played Lich King, because I also have a Death Knight who's 78 right now. And so I've played 3 or 4 times questing through Northrend, and I'm not a random queue for dungeons person. I just quest.
Oh, no, me neither.
So I'm like, I've done these storylines, and you can't, like, I find that you out-level zones so quickly that you never see, like, the end questing content in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. So, but there's no way to, like, skip ahead. You know, what I want to do is, like, start halfway through the zone with my new level whatever character so that mm-hmm. I can experience new content, but it doesn't let you do that. You have to unlock the quests through progression, which That'd is be fine, but...
Awesome if, like, once you leveled up to one character to 90, you've done the quests. When you enter the zone, they let you select what quest you wanted to do.
Yeah, so you could start at the beginning of the zone, or you could pick up where your last character left off.
Yeah.
Makes so much sense. You could just be like, oh, well, you know, Adwiel, she sent me a letter and she explained everything that had already happened, so I don't mm-hmm. have to do it because I'm up to date.
Yeah.
You know, they could totally work it in lore-wise.
They could. And then, of course, we've got our raid team going now, which is fantastic. God.
I am so glad that you're having a good time. I am absolutely loving it. It's been such a learning experience for me, and we've only mm-hmm. been doing it for 2 weeks, but just being in that, like, raid leader position and telling people, you know, like, mm-hmm. where to go and what to do and figuring out strategies and, like, oh, my God, it's so fun.
I mean, and then the week before last, we did Mogoshan Vaults?
Yeah, we did Mogoshan Vaults both weeks.
And we got stuck on Elagon, and last time we raided and we beat him was such a rush.
Oh my God, I know. I wish I was recording that, because literally it was like, we tried 3 or 4 times last week, and then it was our, I believe, third attempt this week.
I think third. I think it was our third and our last attempt this week.
Yeah, we were kind of like, okay, we're running out of time, you know, like, everyone was getting, not necessarily frustrated, because that's what I really like about our raid team. Like, we wipe and we learn, and we wipe and we learn, and it's like, we're not doing the whole, like, everybody study up beforehand. It's just like, okay, well, mm-hmm. what if we try this, and what if we do this, and how about we try moving people here, and, you know, it's a lot more fun, I find, and no one gets upset when we wipe. It's fantastic.
And not at all, and then when we finally beat it, a rush I haven't gone from any other game.
Exactly. I feel the same way. I feel like I just solved a huge puzzle and I accomplished mm-hmm. something big, because it's just like, instead of, you know, looking things up and finding rotations and, you know, figuring out like all the different mechanics of the bosses and stuff, it's just like, no, like we knew basically what the mechanics were because we tried it the week before and failed, and then we just figured it out, and then you get such a sense of accomplishment. And then Josh mm-hmm. got that freaking awesome star sword thing.
Oh yeah, he did.
That I'm was jealous. Amazing.
I rolled on that. I rolled Need on that, and he beat me by like 2 points.
Which is so funny, because he rolled like 95 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we are having an absolute blast. So we actually decided to do another raid night, because we were mm-hmm. just doing it once a week, just because I didn't want to make anyone feel like feel like they had to. Yeah, I wanted this to be like a no homework, just for fun, learning how to raid before Warlords hits type of experience. You know, help people who want to work on the Legendary Cloak quest, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm getting my sigils, and there's no way I'm going to LFR like ever. So I just wanted it to be really, really easy. So then when we downed the dragon, everyone was just like, oh my God, let's keep going. And we ran out of time, and we tried the last boss once, we died. And I was just like, well, we could try again before next Tuesday. And everyone was like, yes, yes, yes. And I was just like, oh, I love the enthusiasm. It makes me so happy.
I think we can do it as well, because that boss we had down is just, I think we were all tired and I was a little bit drunk. You know.
That always happens.
Yep.
Oh my God, that's so funny. But yeah, so it was really, really good. It was so much fun. And apparently that dragon drops a mount, so maybe I'll have to farm him. Just a little. Just a little.
I so don't want to go and fight that boss ever again.
It was kind of awful.
Yeah. Especially as a tank, like having to pull those guys out was, because I'm playing on my laptop, which doesn't have the best, you know, graphical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really hard for me to see whether the Celestial Protectors are spawning.
Oh, wait, you're playing on a laptop? I don't think I knew that.
No, yeah, I bought my laptop from the UK. I'm playing on that.
Uh-huh. Do you have, like, a proper gaming mouse, or?
Yeah.
At least you're not playing with, like, a trackpad or something.
No, yeah, I have my mouse and everything, but it's just, I'm playing on low, so it's really hard to distinguish between the Protector and the Dragon.
Right, yeah, there is a lot of sparkly, cloudy stuff in that fight.
Totally.
Yeah.
It makes it really difficult.
So yeah, so we've been raiding, we've been leveling. Are you working on anything really specific right now in WoW? I mentioned I'm working on my cloak quest, but...
I am doing Lore Master. Right before you called, I have two zones left in Old World, and I have Outland, and I have Lore Master.
That's so impressive. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. I've been trying because I got, when I was leveling up, I got the Lore Master of, I think, Zangarmarsh or something like that. I finished all the Zangarmarsh quests. And I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. I wonder how close I am on all the other zones. And on some of them, I only had like two quests left or something. So I went back and did everything. And I think I got Lore Master of Kalimdor. I think so. I mean, I still have, you know, Eastern Kingdoms, Outland, Pandaria, everything else, but I really want to do it before Warlords hits, because every single new expansion adds a whole bunch of other achievements that you have to get in order to get the Lore Master title. So it just gets harder and harder and harder. So I want to get it done like now.
How I've been doing it was, as I'm leveling up, I'm not allowed to leave the zone until I have Lore Master.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I mean, by that time, you overlevel the contents, all the bosses are, all the fights are really easy, and you're still getting experience.
Right.
And it works
true.
Really well.
I've been going back with my 90 and just kind of like one-shotting everything and finishing the quest as fast as possible. And I can usually, with my 90, do a zone a night of the anything up to and including Lich King. Kata content takes a little bit longer because I'm not one-shotting, I'm like two-shotting stuff. So even just like two-shotting takes twice as long, right? So
yeah.
But yeah, oh man, it's so much fun.
It is. And I'm seeing quests I never seen before, because I've always leveled the same exact path, like I did Undead starting zone, and I did, you know. And so now I'm seeing stuff I haven't done before. Like, I went through Outland once.
Oh yeah. How did you skip Outland?
Well, I've done it twice on my Warlock, but it's just, you know, I hate it.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy I'm going in and seeing stuff again, because I wouldn't have gone back otherwise, I don't think.
Yeah.
Only to level.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to going in and doing some more questing and stuff, but oh, it's so daunting sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so what I actually have been doing this week, instead of playing a lot of WoW, because, I mean, normally my weeks are pretty much taken up with WoW, Smite, and Hearthstone, but this week, a new game in one of my favorite all-time franchises is The Sims. Sims 4 came out on Tuesday?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and it's... I don't want to say it's bad, because it's not bad. It's very much another Sims game. I find that like there was a huge jump from like The Sims to The Sims 2, and then there was another huge jump from 2 to 3, and then I can't really tell 4 from 3. So I think if you're looking at it from like an should I upgrade perspective, I'd wait until they start with the expansions for Sims 4, or at least content patches. I find it really empty. Like, they've taken away a lot of Sims 3 functionality.
Yeah.
Like, in Sims 4, you can't, like, wander around your neighborhood. You can go places, but it's back to the old travel system where you actually have to, like... Yeah, you don't even take a cab. You don't even... There's no cars or anything. You just kind of walk to the edge of your property and disappear. It almost feels unfinished. It's odd. It's really, really odd. And the characters, and I said this like way back when they announced it, the characters, their eyes are weird. Like, they haven't they haven't upgraded like the facial animation really. They still have the eyebrows that just go like this. And they have like straight lines from like the inside and the outside of their eyes straight up to their eyebrows. And the whole thing just like, ugh. It's like, that's no, like... The lids on my eyes and my eyebrows and stuff, it's not just like a flat line. It's such a weird animation. And they've always had that problem ever since they went to 3D. So, I don't know. The one thing that I really, really, really liked and let me... It's almost like a quality of life thing in The Sims 4. Instead of in the old games, you've had to, you know, like put down four walls and then put down a floor and then put, you know, like wallpaper on and then furnish and everything else. And then you had to get the windows and then you had to get the doors and everything just took forever. Now you can buy pre-built rooms. So all you have to do is you can just go in and say, I want a living room. And then there's a whole bunch of different styles of living room, and they vary in price, obviously. And you can just click on it and then place it down on your lot. And then you can just drag it to make it whatever size you want. But all the furniture's in there, all the everything is already in there. So
that's awesome.
It let me actually get in and start playing with my sim probably in about 10 minutes from an empty lot, which is fantastic, because that was my biggest complaint with, well, not really complaint, because it is part of the game and is part of the fun of the game, is character creation, home creation, and then life, basically. There's like the three different stages of playing The Sims. But I find, like, if I'm in the mood to just try it and see what it's like, I don't want to take 3 hours to build a house. I want to, you know, get in and start some questing, see how the mechanics are, what the careers are, all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting, but it's, I definitely wouldn't upgrade. If you haven't fully played out the content of Sims 3, wait, just wait.
I've heard that a lot of the stuff was taken out to make the engine run faster. Because, like, now it doesn't have to load the whole world, which...
It was chuggy. Sims 3 was definitely chuggy, especially as they added more and more expansion packs and more content. But I think I would rather have, like, a bit of a chuggier game with a more of a demand and having to have a better system over top of a fast-running engine and an empty-feeling game. Like, there doesn't seem to be a lot to do outside of your house. So everything you can pretty much do, like, you can buy everything for your own lot. So the only thing you need to do is, like, go out once or twice, meet some people, so that then you can invite them over. Like, you don't have to go out, which is unfortunate, because they were really taking the whole city neighborhood concept to a really cool place in Sims 3. Totally. So it's a little disappointing. But what they have done, which is another huge quality of life improvement, they did a lot of things that kind of... let you sit down and experience a chunk of content, and you can get way through way more in an hour than you ever could before. They allowed multitasking. So now you can, like, sit down, eat something, and have a conversation while watching TV, and you get the benefits of eating, of watching TV, and having the conversation. Where before, it was, like, one thing or the other, and they used to struggle with, like, well, what should I do? Well, if I say watch TV, then sometimes that cancels the current action and all that kind of stuff. So it's different enough, I guess, to be called a fully new game, but I feel like they rushed it. Like, they should have just... Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see how you feel once there's a couple more expansion packs out.
Well, that's true. And, I mean, they do expansions, like, once every 6 months. It's like every time I turn around, they're releasing another expansion, and I can't keep up. Like, I remember I got World Adventures for Sims 3 before I had even finished, like, just vanilla Sims 3 content. And then after World Adventures, I had only played, like, I went on, like, one vacation with my main sim, and then the next expansion was out, and I can't even remember what the next expansion was. There was Late Night, which was, like, introduced, like, clubbing and vampires and all that kind of cool stuff. And then, because obviously you go clubbing with vampires, like, duh.
Oh, totally.
And then there was, like, a Mystic one, which Making Magic was my above and beyond, like, my favorite expansion to any of the Sims games ever. That was Sims 1, and oh my god, it was so much fun. They had so many cool functions and things you could do. And so I can't remember what the one for Sims 3 was called, but there was a magic-themed expansion in Sims 3. But Sims 3 is just such a fully realized game. They really hit it out of the park with that Sims 4 just kind of feels blah. Although, no origin issues, no connectivity issues, I didn't have any... traditional EA issues with Sims 4, which is really good, because I was literally like, I want to try this. Everyone seems really hyped about it. If I have EA issues, I'm just going to scream and literally never buy another EA game again. Like, the last one I bought was SimCity. SimCity.
Okay. Yeah. That was a bad one.
Yeah, that was really, really, really terrible. So
I don't know what the last one I bought was. I think Battlefield 4. in January. Was the last
okay,
one
yeah. I think I have Battlefield 4 because it was one of the, like, oh, we really fucked up with SimCity. Sorry, guys. Oh,
no. You know what? No, Titanfall. Titanfall was the last one I bought.
Oh, I bought Titanfall, but I still haven't installed it.
We need to play that.
I know. That's every single time I say, yeah, I have Titanfall, but I've never played. Oh, we need to play it. And then we play all the other games instead.
When I'm home, we're going to play. That is the best robot punching game ever.
Oh, man. Yeah. So other than Sims, other than World of Warcraft, I've been playing Smite, obviously. I'm trying to... There's a new god that came out. What else? New god. They're replacing the dragon with, like, a serpent thing. I think he's a Mayan, I want to say. And then they're reskinning Freya. So that's cool. Because she's one of my favorites. So I'm excited that she's getting an update. But
I'm excited to play a little bit more Smite once I'm home again. My laptop can't run it out here, but I'm excited to play more. Yeah. Because I enjoy that game. It's fun.
But yeah, other than that, that's pretty much it. So, overall, you guys should totally raid and Sims 4. Sims 4 is a meh. Yeah, it's just a meh. I'm not going to recommend it for right now. before we get into our topic of the week this week, I just wanted to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. And so that brings us to our topic of the week, and I'm going to try really, really hard to stay neutral on this topic. I don't want to get into it too crazy deep because it's
a big one.
It's a big one, and it's really charged is, I think, the best way I can think to put it. We're going to talk about this whole Gamergate issue. So basically, what Gamergate is a hashtag that's kind of blown up on Twitter. And originally, I'm going to try to get this timeline straight because honestly, I read through 3 days of this hashtag probably about a week ago. And it, even after reading 3 days worth of tweets, which this hashtag has now been used something like 300,000 times or something, like, it's a big body of, we'll call it content, I guess, but it's just, I went through all of that and I still, at the end of it, wasn't sure what the issue was, like what the cause was, what was happening. It was so weird. There were no articles. There were no, like, anything. It was just all of these random kind of...
It's just vitriol. Twitter.
Even then, like, it's gotten worse in the last few days. I recommend anyone, if you're going to go read the hashtag, take a deep breath first and make sure there's no kids around. And just kind of prepare yourself for what you're going to read because it's awful. It's really, it's really
YouTube,
awful.
It's YouTube comments turned up to overdrive, really.
Yes. But yeah, so basically, it all started about, I want to say, 3 weeks ago now, and I can't remember. I don't think that
sounds about right.
Yeah, I don't think that we covered this on Gamers Inn at any point in the last few weeks. Ryan might have touched on it last week. I didn't listen to last week's show, so sorry, guys. Chat room, you can let me know if we're covering stuff that's already been covered, but... basically, a few weeks ago, there was this huge scandal that had to do with... I feel like a lot of this stuff should be in, like, air quotes or something, but...
Yeah, totally.
Basically, Zoe Quinn, who is the developer who created Depression Quest, which you played and you enjoyed, right, James?
You should play Depression Quest. Absolutely play that game.
Okay, so...
I wouldn't say I enjoyed it, because it's really sad.
I was going to say, and I think that's why I haven't played it, because I remember you saying, like, oh, everyone should play this game. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I feel like I have to be in a certain place to play that game. I don't think I'm emotionally ready for that right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a game that helps you, it helps put you in the mind of someone being depressed, or it helps you get out, like, you're depressed, helps you realize you're depressed, but... You know, I think everyone should play it, but it's good.
Yeah, really. Okay, so Zoe Quinn she's an indie developer, made this game, Depression Quest.
Yep.
She had a romantic relationship with someone allegedly.
Alleged.
Again, like the chat room. Thank you, Jay. This whole segment brought to us by air quotes. please just assume I am using air quotes or soft language or whatever when I'm talking about this, because I'm not going to just air quote everything for the next like 15 minutes. So basically, she allegedly had a relationship with a writer at Kotaku. And I find this whole thing really funny because basically first of all, the way that it came out was her ex aired all of his dirty laundry about Zoe cheating on him and everything else on Imgur or some sort of kind of bloggy site. Yeah. Anyway, so like terrible, terrible, horrible thing for anyone to do. Like, I don't even know what I would do if that ever happened to me. That would just be the most awful thing ever. Mm-hmm. And then so the internet or portions thereof latched on to Zoe and basically said that she was trading sex for positive reviews. So the kind of funny part...
That's a bad thing to do.
And it is a bad thing to do. But the thing is, Kotaku, the entire site, never reviewed Depression Quest. Yeah. And the person that she had the relationship with there never wrote anything that had anything to do with her after they started their relationship.
Well, I think what the thing was with him was he was giving her Patreon money or something like that. Which was whole thing. I know, exactly.
Like, I mean, it's not a thing anymore, but like... Joel was donating to Gamers Inn. Like, is that a conflict of interest? Like, I don't really think so. Like, if you're just being supportive of someone trying to do the thing that they're gonna do, like, I feel like it should be, especially like the whole Patreon thing, it should be a happy, productive, supportive platform. Yeah. And for some reason, people keep saying, oh, well, they're giving money on Patreon like it's a bribe. It's like, No, it's not. I can't tell you in terms of Angry Chicken or Gamers Inn who our patrons are or how much each individual person is giving. Mm-hmm. It's not that intensive. Like, it's really frustrating to me. And probably because I do have multiple Patreons, and so I'm kind of struggling with how people would necessarily think it's conflict of interest. I mean, I can see how if you are a giant AAA company like EA and you are paying half of Kotaku's bills or something, and then in turn the site is then giving all EA games positive reviews, yes, that's bad. But like a personal relationship and a Patreon exchange of money and like it's just donations. It's so...
Yeah. I mean, I work for Indie Love, and I have dev friends, and I talk to them, and I review their stuff. But it's very, you know, it stays professional.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same. I wouldn't say the same kind of thing here because of the dirty laundry, but it's that same kind of situation, you know?
Yeah. So I feel like I'm struggling a little bit with what exactly the complaint against Zoe was in the beginning. I thought that Kotaku had reviewed her game way, way better than anybody else, and that's what the issue was. But they never wrote a review. There is no review of this game written by the person that she was with or anyone else on the staff. There is no review. Mm-hmm. So she's not trading anything for anything. Like, there is no exchange here, which is kind of crazy. So, anyways, that was kind of the start of it. And then right after that, probably about 4 or 5 days, Anita Sarkeesian released her next video, Feminist Frequency, Tropes in Video Game, Tropes Against Women in Video Games. I'm going to completely disclaimer this. Mm-hmm. I have not watched one since the very first one. Mm-hmm. I only got about 10 minutes in because I 100% disagree with her.
I do too. I'll say this again. I disclaim. I've done the same thing. I watched the first one, but I just rolled my eyes when you said her name, which is awful.
It is. But the thing is, the reason I disagree with her is because I think, well, first of all, I'm an equality person, but I really and truly think that feminism is about choice, And if I choose to be a princess in a tower covered in sparkles, rescued by a prince, that is my choice. And that is no less valid than being an ass-kicking soldier or, you know, any other, like, a stay-at-home mom. You know, all of those are valid choices.
Well, totally. And that's what my problem with Anya Sarkeesian is that she wants... I was saying this to someone the other day, is I feel very much she wants to tear down what's going on now. Instead, we should be building up other points. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be able to do whatever you want.
Yes, exactly.
I should be able to play the Bayonetta with the skimpy outfit, catsuit. And then also, you should be able to play other games. That, it's equality. You shouldn't be bringing down other things.
Yeah, I feel like she completely and utterly discounts all types of women, except the ones that fit her, like, strong feminist idea. She's almost as bad as anybody else, because she's putting women in a mold. And that's what she's trying to kind of strike out against. But it's just like, you know, all choices are valid. And you don't get to judge anyone for making that choice. So there are people out there. I know people out there. There's people in my family who fit those molds of, you know, the princess and the stay-at-home mom and, you know, all those kind of things. That it makes me a little bit angry when I see stuff like that of like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't be a stay-at-home mom. That's anti-feminism. Like, what? No.
Totally. It's our choice. I mean, and there's definitely an issue in the industry where we should be including women and people, homosexuals and people of color. We should be including them more.
Yeah. But I think, like, there are women in video games right now. There are all types of women in video games right now. There's playable characters. There's non-playable characters. They fill all kinds of roles. To me, I'm okay with that. I like that. I am a gamer. I am a woman. And I enjoy pretty much everything I've ever done in a video game. There's very few times when I thought, like, ooh, that's crossing a line. So... But again, like, there's some titles that I don't play because I know that they're going to cross lines, and so I just stay away from them. Like, Grand Theft Auto is not my thing, but... Well, anyways.
I mean, GTA 5 has a fantastic scene where a female cop is interrogating a man, and it's really empowering... I mean, obviously, I'm not a woman, but it's really empowering scene, because this woman is threatening a guy, and, like, he says, I'll beat you with this flashlight if you don't tell me what I want to know. And it's so much giving her power. She's the authority figure in the scene.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to see.
So basically what has happened to these two women is that this Gamergate hashtag has come up. Originally it was supposed to be exposing corruption in game journalism, and not just journalism but just kind of game development in general. And it kind of got hijacked, I guess. I mean, I still don't think that they really had a leg to stand on in terms of their whole corruption cause in the beginning, but it got hijacked by all the people who like to make rape and death threats and everything else. And there was, about a week ago, some pretty scary stuff going on with both Zoe and Anita, where they had to leave their homes, and people were publishing, like, their home addresses, their parents' addresses, and all this kind of, like, really personal stuff.
Well, Sarkeesian got doxxed. Like, her everything about her came out. Where her kids live, where she... Well, she lives with her kids, but, you know.
exactly.
Everything came out, and it's awful.
Yeah, it is absolutely awful. There's just 100% lack of respect and privacy there. And the thing is, like, the person or persons responsible for publishing that kind of information about a person... They may not have any ill intent. They might just be, you know, like, blowing smoke because they want to feel big on the internet. But I think that they are not nice people, but that's not the real threat. The real threat is the person who can't tell right from wrong, has some possible instability anyway, is sitting there seething over this thing, and all of a sudden has the information to find someone in real life and do something about it. They may not have the wherewithal to find all that information online or to hack whatever or, you know. But once it's out there, once it's published, then it's painting a very, very big, very, very scary target on a real person. And regardless of if you agree with her views or not, I just, it's mind-blowing to me that this yes. would be a problem, that this would be something that people would do and not mm-hmm. think it through.
Have you heard of this swatting thing that people do as well to the Twitch streamers?
I did, yeah. I actually heard about it for the first time like a week ago because there was like a 15-year-old, I think, in Louisiana who was sentenced to 25 yeah. years in federal prison for it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. So basically what it is people find through IP addresses or whatever information about Twitch streamers.
Mm-hmm.
They then call the police and say, you know, like, I'm so-and-so at such-and-such an address. I've shot and killed 5 people, blah, 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 whatever. And then SWAT comes in, guns a-blazing. And what mm-hmm. happened in this case was it was a 15-year-old who did this to another, I think it was at Battlefield or was it Call of Duty?
I think it was Call of Duty.
Yeah. Anyways, the guy he was playing against who was kicking his butt. And the SWAT team actually critically injured the guy's father when they came wow. in. And so that's why he's being sentenced to 25 years is because of all the damage. It's yeah. So anyways, it's the whole finding information about somebody and then calling the cops on them or whatever, essentially.
Yeah.
Which again, I can't even believe we're having this conversation right now. I can't believe that this is something that people do to each other over video games, which they're a huge part of my life. I love mm-hmm. them. I love the people mm-hmm. that I've met through playing video games. But, like, mm-hmm. whoa. Just whoa.
I put a link in the show. I actually didn't put a link in the show notes, but I put an article called The End of Gamers in there, which kind of describes... I'll put it in there now. Which kind of describes why this guy thinks it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called The End... Okay.
I was going to say, yeah, I can put it in the chat room if you put it in there.
Okay.
There we go.
It's called The End of Gamers, and basically what you're saying is that the gamer started off as, like, in, like, the 80s and 70s, as someone who was very, wasn't a social mainstream, it was something that you cling to as your identity. You were, I don't mean this 100%, but you were, like, the reject, or you were the person that, you know, stayed away from socializing. I hate to say that, but it was the case.
Well, it was, because games weren't multiplayer for the longest time, right? And even then,
totally.
They became local multiplayer long before we had online multiplayer. So there wasn't a whole lot of socializing in games.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then what this guy's saying is because it's becoming more mainstream, people that stick to that make that identity who they are lashing out and saying, we need to take this back, we need to make it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Again, so they're lashing out at women, they're lashing out at colored people, lashing out at people of different sexualities to keep the gamer their identity. And it's just... And that's why it's hit ahead now, because now you have people like Forbes reporting on it, and you have mm-hmm. people like Slate, who are mainstream journalism, and it's the mainstream now.
I know.
And it needs to be theirs. It's their identity.
Well, yeah, I was talking to my mom this morning, and she's like, I know you do a lot of video game stuff online, because she literally saw on the nightly news last night a story mm-hmm. about Anita. And she's like, are you okay? Is this stuff you deal with? And I'm like, yeah, but not on this scale, Mom. Like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I think if you are a female gamer, streamer, podcaster, you've experienced it.
Totally.
Not on this scale, but, I mean, it's happened to you. It's happened to all of us. And it's unfortunate, but I think some can deal with it better than others. And then you have people like Jen Frank, who I actually quite enjoyed her articles in a lot of different cases. She wrote an article, essentially just an op-ed defending Zoe and kind of saying, like, how can you say there's no sexism and blah, blah, blah. And she wrote this big article for The Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to disclose that she knows Zoe and is friends with Zoe. And The Guardian just said, well, no, it's an op-ed. Don't worry about it. Like, it doesn't matter. It's an opinion piece. Mm-hmm. So... Anyways, she has now quit gaming journalism because of this, because of the harassment that she received, because people were saying she wasn't being open and honest about the fact that she knows Zoe. It's like, again...
Well, she was, though.
Well, yeah, she was. Basically, the publication told her she didn't have to put in that disclaimer saying that she knew Zoe, because it doesn't matter, because it's an opinion piece. Like, mm-hmm. she's entitled to her opinion, and The Guardian thought it was good enough to publish, so end of story. Yeah. But, I mean, the kind of things that I have seen tweeted to these girls women mm-hmm. In the last like week, I would have had the exact same reaction. If I was getting this kind of attention and scrutiny and anger and threats, man, I would be out of podcasting so fast. It would mm-hmm. be, it's just like not worth it. Like, I'll just go play my single player games. I've already stopped Twitch streaming. The only time I stream now is the shows. And every once in a while, like, we'll stream for Gamers In Game Night mm-hmm. only on the Gamers In stream, and Ryan streams. I don't stream. I'm on the call, but I don't do the video streaming anymore because it just, it's just not fun. It's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Twitch has been the worst experience, I think, out of anything.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, YouTube's bad. I've turned off all the comments on our YouTube videos. Twitter can be bad, but usually I find people on Twitter just don't understand necessarily what it is I do or what I stand for. They take something out of context or something. It's really hard to get a point across in 140 characters. And that goes both ways, both me and whoever is saying something hurtful back to me. It's really hard to do that in 140 characters. So okay. they don't necessarily mean it how it sounds, and we have an email about it later, actually, just about the whole concept of, like, oh, things in writing sometimes don't come across the way I meant them to, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in those cases on Twitter, I can usually approach them in some more private, like, email way or something, and usually we hash it out and it's fine. But mm-hmm. that has never happened to me on YouTube, and that has never happened to me on Twitch, where I can have a mature conversation with somebody who's just being angry and offensive. So I would have the exact same reaction, but it's really, really sad that we've actually lost a good journalist, I think, in Jen. I did really enjoy her stuff. She actually got into the industry by winning a contest about 10 years ago, so it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People in the chat room are saying gaming journalism is dead because of YouTube and Twitch, and I very much disagree with that, based on the fact that games journalism isn't just reviews. Games journalism is what's going on with developers and what's going on with how games are made and what's going on with Kickstarter and that kind of thing. And I think that
mm-hmm.
that's
I
the
agree.
Big thing. And going back to this Dan Golding thing, or games journalism in general, is it doesn't have... is that very much it's either happening or it's not happening. There's no room for a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be. There should be room for what can happen. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, as someone that is a games journalist, it's, you know, not dead. I made my living off of it, honestly.
Exactly. So I think the last thing that's kind of come out, because I'm definitely not saying that, like I said right off the top, I'm trying to take a really neutral stance, because I think mm-hmm. that if there are issues, whether it's with women in these particular situations, if it's with corporations or game journalism or whatever, I do think that transparency is very important. And if that is what Gamergate is going after, then that is a good cause. I think it's been hijacked, and I don't think that the things that are happening are right. But at the same time, I think a lot of stuff that's going the other way, the kind of, like, lashing out that the women and their supporters are doing is also not okay in some cases. Because basically they're taking the word gamer and starting to use it as a slur, which is just as bad, I think, as all of... Well, not just as bad, because it's not the same as a death threat or a rape threat, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think that just everyone needs to be a little bit more careful about just these blanket statements. Like, I mean, my gamers are... I should start a new hashtag. My gamers.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, my gamers are smart, funny podcasters, you know, just yeah. like men, women, young, old. Like, I mean, I have friends all the way from... Well, James, what are you now? 21?
I am 20.
Almost.
Almost 21.
All the way up to, you know, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds. Like, it just, I have friends from all walks of life that are doing this awesome, cool thing called gaming with me. And I find it upsetting and offensive when somebody's like, oh, all gamers are 14-year-old racists, you know, or 50-year-olds living in their mom's basements and, you know, all these kind of things that are like traditional gamer slurs that usually people outside use against us. So to hear it coming from people on the inside is really upsetting. So I just want to kind of say the flip side of that, where, like, we shouldn't be using gamer as a slur. We should be supporting and helping people to just do the thing that they love, whether that's writing about games, playing games, podcasting about games, whatever it may be. Like, can't we all just get along?
Yeah, no, you're right. It should be, I feel like, again, going back to what this guy was saying, it's like people saying, my toys are being taken away, you know, and they want to hold on to it instead of like, I want to share. Mm-hmm. And that's what needs to happen. Needs more sharing and more equality. And that's where it goes down to, is equality. That's what everything gets down to, in my opinion, is just equality between everybody.
I'm just trying to, sorry guys, I'm just trying to read back the, read the chat room. I want to make sure that I don't miss anything that you guys want me to cover, because I do think it's an important issue. I do, again, caution anyone.
More about how journalism is dying.
Okay.
Which is basically like, it's how it's going away because gamers are the ones giving the reviews more. And what I'm saying is, why can't the gamer be the person? Why can't I be both?
Like, yes, yeah.
What the industry needs is a way. In the UK, we have the Leveson Inquiry, which manages journalists.
Okay.
It says what a journalist can do, what a journalist cannot do, Fourth Estate, everything like that. And that's what games journalism needs. It needs a way in its site. You can do this, you can't do that. If you do that, we're going to blacklist you, that kind of thing. It needs,
fair enough, it needs management, some regulation basically.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, that's fair enough. So if you guys have any thoughts on Gamergate, on the whole issue, on Anita's feminist frequency videos, on just anything, if you want to talk to us about this, I know it is a really touchy topic, and I hope that we've covered it adequately without upsetting anyone, because that's definitely not what we're trying to do here. But I just, for the record, don't know any of these people, so no conflict of interest. But yeah, if you guys want to give us your thoughts, the email is going to come up at the end of the show. So before we get into emails from you guys, I just wanted to remind everyone that if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head on over to /loot.com, that's S-L-A-S-H loot.com, to grab yourself an awesome Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other shirts, including designs by Carter Johnson, like Best Pals, as well as all your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to /loot.com and show off your podcast pride. Before we jump into emails, I just wanted to thank Jason C. for becoming our newest patron. That actually just happened today. So if you want to become a patron of the Gamers Inn, you can do so at patreon.com/TGI. We appreciate everyone's support of our show, whatever form it comes in, including super awesome emails. So this one is Rich on EA Access, the sequel. So he writes in and says, hey again, Rich here from the EA Access email from last week. Wow. I guess my email came off as a bit mean. I did not intend it that way. Apologies for the tone. I really just wanted a counterpoint discussion about it, but I guess I didn't really think about the fact that neither of you owns Xbox Ones and are primarily PC gamers. I still think EA Access is a good value if you own an Xbox One, and they just announced they're adding Need for Speed Rivals in the next couple of weeks. Anywho, my apologies again. Love the show, and tell Jocelyn to take it easy on me. Okay. Not gonna rip you a new one, come on. I feel like I should have listened to the end of the last show, because they must have really done a number on him.
What was this discussion?
So basically, we had talked about when EA Access was announced, how it was kind of like a waste of money, something that's not really interesting, how pretty much everything that they had announced for it was sports related, the titles weren't that interesting. EA's just kind of trying to steal my money for no reason, and there weren't a lot of perks tied to it. So we were pretty down on it. But yeah, both Ryan and I have a PC, and Ryan has a PS4. So neither one of us are next gen Xboxes. So we were, we were taken to task a little bit about how $30 a year is a fine price to pay. And, you know, what you're getting if you're a sports gamer is valid. So, I think, yeah, we missed the mark a little bit. And then Rich's email was a little bit, again, like I mentioned earlier with the whole Twitter thing, sometimes it's difficult to get across your tone in an email or a text or a, you know, tweet or whatever. So no hard feelings, Rich. It's all good. It's fine. There were definitely valid points for EA Access. If you do enjoy the kind of games that they're giving away, then absolutely, it's a good idea. But for me, yeah, not a sports gamer. Never really have been. Although I did love NHL 95. Loved it.
I am a big fan of Football Manager.
Oh, and Blades of Steel. Way back in the day, Blades of Steel. It's a hockey thing.
I guess. Oh, and FIFA 14 is really good as well.
I've heard people like FIFA, but I'm just not a,
not a football player?
No, I tried playing the NFL one probably in like 2007-ish. My roommate had it, and he just loved it. He used to play it for days and days and days, and I was just sitting there, and I'm like, I don't get it. This isn't fun. These controls are janky. Like, ugh, let's play Guitar Hero again. But, yeah, so thanks very much for the email, Rich. I'm sorry if they were hard on you last week, and come on. I'm not in the mood to be hard on anyone. Jeez. We have one other email that comes to us from Josh Bradley, and this was a little bit more to me, although there was a good mention and thank you to Ryan at the end of it as well, but I cut it down a little bit. But Josh says, I just listened to episode 135 and was sorry to hear about Jocelyn's troubles. Realize it's not much, but I just wanted to offer my condolences, so thank you very much, Josh. I imagine it would be more challenging to put together podcasts with troubles weighing on one's mind. So as a regular listener of TGI and TAC, I just wanted to thank you for the effort you put into the shows, especially when enduring personal issues. And then there was a big blurb about how awesome Ryan is too. So thank you very much, Josh. It really means a lot that you get so much out of the shows that we put together. Really, they're an opportunity for me to talk to my friends about the things that I love. So it's good. It makes me feel better about a lot of things that are going on right now. So I still haven't really been completely open about what's going on right now, but I'll probably like write a blog post or talk about it in a few weeks when it's kind of all resolved. But I'm doing better. I'm okay. Nobody died. It's fine. But yeah, so if you guys do want to send an email to the show, you can do so at info@gamersandpodcast.com. We really do want to hear about what you have to say about this whole Gamergate issue. I'm sure that Ryan and I are going to cover it again. Actually, that is a lie. We are coming up on wedding time, and I'm actually going to Ontario for Ryan's wedding. So I believe that Garrett is going to guest next Friday. They are going to talk about Destiny, I believe. Ooh. Is Destiny coming out next week?
Yeah, comes out the day I go home.
Okay, well, there you go. So they're going to play Destiny and talk about Destiny, and I'm going to be on a plane. So I won't be around next Friday. And then the Friday after that is actually the night before Ryan's wedding. So we're not going to do a show that week. But then we should be back, I believe, the 12th, 19th, so 26th, I think, is the next episode that Ryan and I will do together. And he'll be like a married man in junk, which is like weird.
More responsibilities.
I know. Who does that? But anyway, so that is our upcoming schedule for TGI. James, do you want to pimp anything, talk about anything before I jump into the outro? Where can people find you?
Sure. I am at Iagavos on Twitter. It's spelt how it sounds, I guess. And I currently do the Indie Investigations podcast, which is I pull on indie game devs and I talk to them about how their game is made, and it's so much fun.
Nice.
I've learned a lot from it.
Oh, good. So are you still doing Initiative Check, or is that done for now?
Initiative Check was on hiatus during the summer, just because I haven't been playing as much, and it's a lot harder for me to talk about things, but it's coming back probably in October-ish.
Oh, good. Also in October, we are doing Extra Life. So our team page is up. We've got some members. If you want to go donate, you can do so now all the way up until the event. The event is actually on October 25th, and you can find our team just by searching for the Gamers Inn on the Extra Life website, which is extra-life.org, or you can go straight to our team page, which is extra-life.org/team/the Gamers Inn. So, or shoot, the Gamers Inn or TGI? I always get this wrong. I should put it in the notes.
I think it's TGI, but I'm not sure.
Well, entertain the folks while I Google the things.
All right. Last year we had a Bitly, and that worked really well. And last year we raised, I think it was like over $4,000 for different hospitals.
Yeah, we did. I think our final total was almost $4,500.
Wow. And this year we've doubled that. We've doubled our goal. I think we're going up to $8,000 this year. Is that correct?
I don't think so. I think it was,
I don't know what it is.
Five. I thought we were going for five. It definitely got increased. I doubled my personal goal.
That's right.
Yeah, so
we doubled
I...
doubled our personal goals. We're going...
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're going to have lots of prizes to give away. We're going to have loads of fun people on the stream. It's going to be going for 24 hours. And it's going to be crazy.
It is extra-life.org/team/TGI. So if you want to donate, you can go there. We appreciate every single one. We have apparently raised $20 so far, which is exciting. But it really ramps up on the day of. So if you want to throw some money at us right now, you can do that. If you want to wait until the day of, you can do that too. We have all kinds of people who are going to be joining us on the stream. We're going to be talking to Kim from Doghouse. Doghouse is sponsoring us again this year, which is great. And then we're also going to be having all of your favorite Frog Pants personalities for Cards Against Humanity this year. We're going to be playing a Smite drinking game. We actually have Garrett, who's going to be joining us for the full 24 hours this year, which is super exciting. So really, really cool, really, really fun stuff. And that's October 25th. So really don't miss it because we have a blast every single year. So it's for the kids. It's for a really, really good cause. So
it is.
I think that pretty much does it for tonight. So if you want to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and AMOVE Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan, who is absent tonight, is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email us and tell us your thoughts about everything we talked about tonight, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week for Garrett and Ryan. New hosts every week. It's awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bye.